What I want to talk about tonight is how Christians don't believe Jesus. And that seems like an odd thing to say. And this actually was inspired by a conversation Keith and I were having a few weeks back about a situation. And it got me thinking of how people who call themselves Christians, don't believe the guy they name themselves after in a lot of ways. And everybody likes to call themselves a follower of Jesus or a disciple of Jesus. I'm just following Jesus, man. I'm just following you. But they don't believe a lot of the things about Jesus that they should. And they just love them some Jesus, don't they? Have you run into people like this? You know, I just love Jesus. But they don't believe in many of the things that he says. And they don't, you know, it's like, I don't have time for the Bible, and I don't need that, you know, I don't want to hear that doctrine and, you know, Bible verse. Man, I'm just loving Jesus. I'm just following Jesus. It's all about love. You've heard of it. You know, they don't want to get caught up in the fundamentalist social issues. Everybody, we all grew up in very fundamentalist churches where it's like, they don't pay any attention to try to see souls saved. It's like, we want to win elections for Jesus. Really? You know, as if Jesus is a Republican or something. But they all, fundamentalists do get caught up in a lot of these social issues trying to fix the devil's sin-cursed earth when they should be preaching the gospel and seeing souls saved. That would clean up people's behavior if they trusted the gospel. But as far as what I'm going to talk about tonight, you know, I don't know where everybody who's here or will watch this video is at. You know, where you at in your beliefs. If you are a Bible believer and you do believe these words, what I want to do tonight is encourage your belief to stay grounded in your belief, because there's an onslaught coming from people who call themselves Christians who are going to want to challenge you to move away from believing your Bible. And if anybody watches this that is not a Bible believer, somebody who just loves them some Jesus, but I don't believe that Bible necessarily, I want to try to challenge and provoke you to reconsider your positions if you're one of those people. That's a very nice way of saying I want to convince you that you're wrong. Shouldn't have said that. But when you talk about Bible belief, and you take creation, for instance. You say, I believe in a young earth, and I believe it was created by God. And people look at you like you're a moron. And they're looking at you like, you seem intelligent, you seem like you have a brain, but you can't honestly believe that. That's a young earth and 6,000 years old, and you can't believe that, you know, some guy got swallowed up by a fish and spat out and then he went preaching. You can't believe that stuff, do you? That's what Christians are going to be saying to people like you and me. And now there's this, and you'll probably see it on Facebook if you pay any attention, but it's just an awesome follower of Christ, dude. And I'm just all about love. I don't want to know about this, you know, Roman stuff. I don't have time for that. I'm just focusing on love. I just want to love. When I'm done loving, I want to love some more. You know, I want to be relevant. How many have heard that? It's all about being relevant. Love is relevant. Well, they get that from somewhere. You know, this stuff just doesn't explode, you know, out of nowhere. People hear other people saying things like this, and oh, that's where the mainstream's going. I'll just hitch my ride right in the mainstream. You know, that seems easy enough. But I've quoted a reverend here. He's the associate dean of religious life at the University of Southern California. Lots of fundamentalists in Southern California, right? Reverend Jim Berklow. By the way, if I ever call myself reverend, somebody please call 911. I'm having a stroke. Something's wrong. The only time the word reverend appears in the Bible is when God is talking about himself. Okay? But anyways, to quote Reverend Jim Berklow, listen to what he says. Believing in the factuality of the fantastic stories in the Bible is trivial. It's trivial to believe those stories, those fantastic. And they are fantastic stories. They're supernatural events. But he says it's trivial. And this is exactly why it makes no sense to let such questions matter very much in living a faithful Christian life. It really isn't important whether or not you take the Bible literally. Not important. If it doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it. Okay? Don't let dogma and doctrine get in the way of practicing and, oh boy. Capital L. Don't let doctrine and dogma get in the way of practicing love, who is God. You see what he did there? He took 1 John 4:8, God is love, flipped it on its head. Love is God. It's all about love. I'm just loving hardcore and relevant. You've now made love God. God is love, but he's a lot more things than just love. And his love is constrained by his holiness, which is his central attribute. But that's what he says. Don't worry about believing the Bible. If it doesn't make sense, don't worry about it. Don't get in the way of preaching love. Listen to what he says next. Instead of caring whether the story of Jesus' resurrection was a fact or myth, let's concern ourselves with things that matter. Jesus' literal resurrection, he says, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all, whether it's a fact or a myth. It doesn't matter. What do you do with verses like 1 Corinthians 5:17, where he says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is worthless. Your faith is in vain. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5. This guy says, not important. Your Bible says, if he didn't literally come up from the dead, you're wasting your time here. Go home. Your faith is vain. Listen to what he says next. When Jesus asked us to believe in him, he wasn't asking us to believe a list of ideas about him. He was asking us to believe in the spark of the divine that was in him. Because he wanted us to believe in the spark of divine that's within us. So Jesus is just a great guy with a spark of the divine in him, just like all of us. Don't believe a list of ideas. So if I can summarize the good and holy reverend's statements. You've heard it said of old, Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. The good reverend says, let you be true, and let God's word be a liar whenever it gets in the way of what you want. That's basically what he's saying. Now, this kind of stuff, when you actually say it plainly, like this guy does, it's kind of shocking to people who are inclined to believe their Bibles. You know, it sounds as blasphemous as it is. But there's a lot of people that you're going to run into, that I'm going to run into, that, you know, somebody watching this video may be one of them, who believes like this? It's all that stuff. This stuff's not important. I don't have time for this. And reading verses and these and thous and third Habakkuk. And, you know, I don't have time for that. I just want love. It's all about love. And I don't need to worry about whether this stuff is true as long as I'm loving. What's your faith in? Is your faith in your love? Is your faith in you being a good guy? Or is your faith in that there was a Christ? He was God manifest in the flesh. He did die for your sins. He did resurrect. It's pretty wide chasm there. But this is coming to us. George Barna, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of his surveys. He's been doing surveys of, let me do heavy air quotes here, Christian people for many years. And in 2011, his survey came out, and he asked church-going people, how many of you think the Bible is the Word of God? So 3 years ago, surveys out, do you go to church all the time? Yep. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? 30% of church-going people believe the Bible is the Word of God. A third of people who go to church, give money, sing the songs, a third of them believe that this book is the Word of God. 49%, so the plurality, 49% believe that the Word was initially inspired, but then over through the ages, it was corrupted and lost, and God lost his word. So God used all those men over thousands of years to write 750,000 words and then lost it. That's what most people believe. By the way, that's what the Muslims believe too. Any place where the Bible disagrees with the Quran, that's because the Bible was corrupted, because it was lost over time. That's what they teach. American Christians, church-going people, believe that. 17%. 17% of church-going people believe that the Bible is a book of fables and stories. Why go? There's better stories than other books in a lot of ways. But 17% of the people who go there, sit in pews, sing the song, say, hey, that's just fables and stories. So the mainstream of Christianity, and my, isn't it courageous to be in the mainstream? You talk to these people who are mainstream, and they're so proud of themselves being mainstream. How courageous is it really? What do you believe? What everybody else believes? Where are you doing? What everybody else is doing? Aren't I courageous? No. You're just going with the flow. And the mainstream flows to the sewer, and that's where you're headed. It's more courageous to say, no, the mainstream's wrong. I think I'm going to swim that way. That's what is courage, but mainstream people just think that this book is no more scripture or holy or from God than the writings of Plato or the Koran or, you know, War and Peace, whatever. It's just become a prop. And you see it on TV. They'll flash a third of a verse somewhere, and the guy will say, see this verse? And then he'll talk for 30 minutes about a morality tale or a positive affirmation. The Bible has just become a prop. And that is building faster and faster. It's in the mega churches. It's obviously in Southern California at the universities. It's in the seminaries. But it's building, and this tidal wave is going to be now how your friends think and Christian people that you run into think and how everybody else around us in the mainstream thinks. And it's coming even to small churches that people just look at the Bible like that. And what I want to do, like I said, is for those of you who do believe, I want to encourage you and give you some ammunition to where you can guard your heart and your mind, and maybe you can rescue somebody else out of the mainstream one day that you run into. But I said the title was Christians Don't Believe Jesus. And I've got a list of topics that mainstream Christianity doesn't believe, and Jesus has a little bit different idea. Now, Christians, many of them, don't believe that Christ is the Creator. You know, the reverend there, a good reverend, he was just an awesome dude that had a spark of the divine, like you've got a spark of the divine in you. But call him God? No. Well, that's silly. Well, everybody knows Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What about what we just studied a few months ago in John 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Christ is the Creator God. Colossians 1:16 says, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. So Christianity says, no. Jesus says, yep, I'm the Creator. Jesus believes that He is the Creator God. That's one thing. How about, you know, I think of our dear Glenn Beck on the radio, a good Mormon that he is. Jesus is my Savior, just like you. What he's trying to hide is he doesn't believe Jesus was God. He believes Jesus was Lucifer's spirit brother. That's what Mormons believe. But he doesn't want to alienate the Christian crowd because they keep buying his stuff and sending him money. So he'll say stuff like, he's my Savior, just you. I'm a Christian. But he hides the fact he doesn't believe Jesus was God. Now, that's very common. Jesus is God. It's very common. We saw that from the good reverend. He doesn't believe Jesus was God. He believes Jesus was just like you and me. We all got a spark of the divine. Jesus said, you remember 1 John 5:7, one of the greatest verses that is not in most Bibles besides the King James Bible. These three are one. There are three that bear record in heaven, and the three are one. What did Jesus say about himself? And by the way, I'm going to be quoting a lot from Jesus' red letter earthly ministry to Israel. Because that's what people will say, you know, that stuff outside of there, I don't have any time for that, but I just want to follow what Jesus said. Having no idea Jesus wasn't talking to them, having no idea that Jesus was Old Testament coming to Israel. But I'm going to be quoting from that, not saying that this is your doctrine. I'm going to make fact claims about what Jesus said. He says in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Said, you've seen the Father, you've seen me, right? Jesus said in John 8:58, right before they were so excited to hear him speak, they wanted to kill him when he made this statement, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He took the title of Jehovah God, Yahweh, I am, saying, I was before Abraham. He's saying, I'm God. And the audience knew exactly what he's saying because they picked up stones to kill him. So Jesus believes he was God. Why don't Christians? I mentioned Glenn Beck a minute ago. Jesus is my Savior, but he's not God. I'm not going to ask you to turn to this, but Hosea. Hosea, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no other God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Jehovah God's saying that. There is no Savior besides me. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't, I'm sorry, Glenn Beck, you can't have a Christ who is your Savior and not God. Hosea says, there is no other Savior but me, God. Christ is the Savior. Okay? So, back to the good reverend. Just looking to get a spark of the divine. Didn't want us a list of ideas about him. He just wanted us to love. You hear guys talk like that, and they sound so authoritative, and they usually speak in ministerial tones that make you feel dumb because they know so much more, and look at all the letters after my name. These are very simple verses that say, dude, you're wrong. It's either the Bible and the Jesus of the Bible, or you and your ideas. That's how simple it is. Jesus, he wanted us to believe in... He claimed to be God. That's either a lunatic or God. It's pretty simple. This guy's walking around, I am. I existed before Abraham. I am God. I and my Father are one. Is he a lunatic? Or is he telling the truth? That's the option. That's the choice you have to make. You can't be, oh, I'm just going to love him. He claimed to be God, but, you know, I don't know. Was he? Think, man. Turn on your brain. I know the mainstream wants you to stop thinking, but this guy claimed to be God. Am I going to believe him or not believe him? It makes a difference. Not too long ago, Pat Robertson. You guys know Pat Robertson? 700 Club. He's usually good about once a month to say something completely insane. His latest is he said, you can't believe the Genesis account, people. You can't believe that the earth is not billions of years old. Come on, people. We want people to take us seriously. You can't be talking like that. Pat Robertson worrying about people taking him seriously. But he's saying, you can't believe, and he starts talking about the rocks and the strata and the Pat Roberts wanting to be taken seriously. Anyways, he's saying you can't believe in Genesis and be taken seriously, and it's completely ridiculous and unnecessary, and you just need to trust that God put the Big Bang in place and let it all evolve from there. That's what Pat Robertson, that's what the majority of Christianity believes. If you believe in a young earth, if you believe in 6,000 years, you're nuts. It's silly. What did Jesus believe about creation? Good Christians. Matthew 19:4-6, he says, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So Christ is saying, at the beginning, I created a male and female person. It wasn't the primordial ooze that turned into the bigger ooze that coagulated into the fish, and then suddenly the fish grew legs, and now it's walking on land, and then it became an ape and was swinging in trees, and now your uncle was a monkey, but look at you. You can drive a car and vote and read. Jesus said, no, they were made male and female at the beginning. Mark 10:6-8 says pretty much the same thing, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. So Jesus, Pat Robertson, I wonder if he knows about this. He should go back and tell Jesus, don't say that because nobody will take you seriously, Jesus. You believe in a young earth and creation. That's just silly, Jesus. I'll have to send Pat Robertson back to straighten him out. I'm just following Jesus, man, but there's no way that you can believe that stuff. You know, we got science and carbon dating, and look at the Grand Canyon. Jesus says, yeah, I created a male and female at the beginning, just like Genesis said. Christians don't believe Jesus. Plain and simple. Jesus believed that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. When you watch Discovery Channel or Learning Channel and they say, this Sunday night, the real Jesus or the real Moses or the true story of Abraham, what they're going to do is tell you all that the Bible's not true, this stuff is fables, and this is how all these great wizards of smart have figured out why your Bible is wrong. And listen to us, because we have the truth. That's what those shows are going to be. And they don't believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. I mean, Moses is recording conversations in the Garden of Eden. Moses wasn't there. Instead of writing out Pentateuch, I'll just write five. First five. But the scholars, who wrote the last chapter of Deuteronomy? Moses is dead in the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Who wrote that? See, Moses couldn't have... Well, if you turn over the next page, you see who wrote the last chapter. It was Joshua, son of Nun, Joshua. And he wrote a book, oddly titled Joshua, which comes right after Deuteronomy. By the way, it's Joshua, son of Nun, not son of a Nun. That would be scandalous. That was a good one. Laugh. But the ivory towers, the wizards of smart say, these books should be seen as a mixture of credible historical events and either religious poetry sparked by man's religious imaginations written from about 950 B.C. to 400 B.C. That's what they say. It's just an amalgamation of, tales around the campfire and those crazy old religious people believing in their gods and stuff. And they say, it wasn't written when Moses was alive. It was written almost when, Malachi was written. Way, way late. What did Jesus say? Christianity? No, there's no way Moses could have wrote that. What's Jesus have to say about it? Matthew 8:4. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded. He's telling them to follow the law and go give the gift that Moses commanded on the end of them. John 5:46, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. So Jesus believed that Moses wrote this. Somebody should tell the scholars that. Somebody needs to straighten out Jesus. I mean, he claims to be God, but he sure doesn't follow what the Learning Channel says is right. John 7:19, Jesus says, did not Moses give you the law? Rhetorical question. Yes, he did. Jesus believed that Moses wrote the law. There's a terrible movie out at a theater near you. Jesus believed in Noah's flood being worldwide and universal. Nobody believes that. Now, they made a movie about it, but the people who made the movie don't believe it. The producer or director of the movie is an atheist. So he believes he's going to make a buck off of gullible Christians. But from the mainstream, how should we interpret the Genesis flood account? How about just read it and believe it? No, we need to interpret it. Christians do not feel the text requires that the flood be global, but could have covered the small region of earth that was known to Noah. It's the end of the world! My town's flooded. That's what they're saying. The scientific and historical evidence does not support a global flood, but is consistent with a catastrophic regional flood. Oh, well, the wizards of smart have told me that. Well, they said the scientific evidence. Who am I? I'm not a scientist. I don't know anything. You have Google now. You can find out that on tops of pretty much every mountain that we walk across, there's fossilized marine mammals. How'd they get there? They grew legs and walked up. No. A flood. That they make a statement that says the scientific and historical evidence does not support it. Yes, it does. The scientific and historical evidence absolutely supports a global flood. Don't be intimidated by these people. They think their uncle was a monkey. Okay? Don't be intimidated by them as they look down the nose at you. The evidence, the Grand Canyon is one of them. You look at the Grand Canyon, and it's like the evolutionists, mecca. And they say, look at this strata was laid down 3 trillion years ago. Well, how do you know that? Well, because of the rocks we find in this strata. Oh. Well, how do you know the rocks were? Well, because we date it by the strata. Well, no, because they date it by the rocks. You know, round and around we go. They've made a decision, but there are parts in the Grand Canyon where you see trees, fossilized trees. You know, what happens when trees get ripped up by a flood and uprooted and thrown down mountains by water and even volcanoes? It strips off the branches and they end up getting waterlogged and floating upside down, or floating, you know, right side up in the water. They find those in the Grand Canyon that span, if you count the rocks, oh, this tree was, that part was deposited 3 trillion years ago, this part was deposited 1 trillion years. The evidence shows a global flood. But when you've already decided that God doesn't exist, you can't see that kind of evidence. But even fossils. How is a fossil made? Something is killed and buried very quickly, deprived of oxygen, like what happens when a flood comes and washes things under, and that's how fossils are made. There's fossils all over the world. The fossil record supports the global flood. But that's, you know, I was talking with my nephew the other night, and he was talking about carbon dating and all this stuff, and I was explaining to him how that's so flawed, and he's starting to get it, but I said, isn't it funny that the people who want to preach perpetual change, you know, evolution, which they base their theories on uniformitarianism. Everything's been the same for 15 billion years. The same amount of radiation has come through the atmosphere for anyway, getting off on a tangent. Better hurry up. But did Jesus believe? Hold on, I forgot to give Jesus a check mark there. Go ahead and give him another one. Jesus believed in the worldwide flood. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. All of them. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus believed everybody died and that was worldwide. Christians don't. He says again in Luke, until the day that Noah entered in the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Everybody. Just like Genesis records. I'll skip this one for time. Christians don't believe that Abraham ever existed. They believe that he is a figure that was an amalgam as passed down through tribal folklore, and that there really wasn't an actual Abraham that did all those things and had all those experiences. But, you know, it's just a tradition of this was our patriarch. You know, like a Rome with a Romulus or something. So Christians don't believe in Abraham. And we already read the verse where Jesus believed in Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. He said, that was the only verse I had for that. But the scientists, they decided ahead of time, you know, there was no such place as Ur of the Chaldees until way late, and Abraham never existed until, oops, in 1975, they find Ur of Chaldees, dated right where Abraham was, and they even find Abraham's name inscribed on things. So the wizards are smart. Jesus believed in a literal Sodom and Gomorrah and a literal judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Nobody believes that one. You watch some of the programs on Sodom. It was just a volcano. And there was some... Christians don't believe that. Jesus did. He said in Matthew 10:15, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of the judgment than for that city. He said it again in Matthew 11:24. But okay. Well, Jesus believed in the Sodom and Gomorrah thing. But come on, dude. Lady turns to salt for turning around. You don't believe that a woman turned into a pillar of salt. You're a sophisticated American in the 21st century. You don't believe that kind of fable, do you? You could be a Christian without believing all that. You just need to love. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Jesus believed in Lot's wife. Manna from heaven. That's a good one. The wizards of smart talk about... There wasn't food raining down out of the sky. What you need to understand is out there in this desert where Moses was walking, there's a localized plant. It's a mushroom that grows out there, and it's white. And it's got psychedelic and psychotropic properties. And that's what happened with Moses. He was out there eating all these mushrooms. Then he got this God complex, and I'm going to take on King Pharaoh and leave. And that's what these people were. Or they say, you know, the manna, what you need to understand is in the ancient Hebrew, the rabbis would say, this is just a higher plane of spiritual consciousness and self-awareness, and you can't believe. How many of you all have heard these things before? It's out there, and it's coming. Jesus said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus believes that they got food from heaven. And then he uses as his corroboration scripture that was supposedly wasn't written by Moses, who supposedly never wrote. Jesus believed in Moses, too. He says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Sounds like he's talking about real people eating real food and not some spiritual self-awareness, you know, psychedelic trip. Said again in John 6:58, your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Sounds like Jesus believes in real manna. Why don't any of the Christians don't believe Jesus anymore? It's a shame. Yeah, he's my Savior. He teach me how to love. I just don't believe anything he believes. We'll skip this one too because I'm running out of time. Most scholars don't believe Daniel wrote Daniel. Why? Because he predicts so many things spot on. They say there's no way Daniel could have written about all these kingdoms and all these things were going to happen because it's too close to being, you know, it's too right. No, because they don't believe the Bible is the word of God. They believe it's the word of men. So they say no man could have wrote this. So they say Daniel was just a compilation of writings that were put together by the Maccabees around 200 B.C. after all the predictions took place. Jesus believed. And Daniel has so many specific dates and names. Daniel 1:1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So you've got, in the third year of this guy's reign, so that gives you a date, came this wicked king from over here, and that's when Israel fell. I mean, the whole book of Daniel is like that. But Christians don't believe Daniel wrote Daniel. Jesus did. Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the guy who never wrote it, Daniel the prophet. When you see that, remember Daniel wrote about that. Jesus believes Daniel wrote Daniel. Christians don't. You write Daniel here. I mentioned at the beginning, Jonah. I remember when I was a kid, I saw a chick track. And because you can't believe that somebody gets eaten by a fish or a whale or whatever and is down for 3 days and survives. That's ridiculous. Well, Chick came out. He had a literal news story where a guy got swallowed basically whole by a shark and they ended up catching the shark and cut it open and there the guy popped out alive. And that was supposed to be proof that you can believe your Bible. Well, you don't need Jonah to stay alive. In the fish. Ever hear of Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth. What did Jesus have to say? You know, Christians don't believe. You can't believe that. It's a myth. It's a fable designed to teach a morality lesson. You can't believe in this stuff literally. I had a guy come up to me several years back and say that to me. And by the grace of God, I had gone over this material and I was able to say, well, you don't believe it, but Jesus did. Do you still want him to be your Savior? And it was able... He didn't know. He had heard Wizards of Smart just telling him, it's a fable, you don't need to believe it literally. But he didn't know that he was not believing Jesus. In Matthew 12, if you want to turn to that, I haven't told you to turn to any verses. I've just been reading them to you. Don't you guys get lazy. Matthew 12 and start in verse 39. I know I normally do too many verses in Bible drills, so probably a good change of pace. 12 and verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Sounds like he's talking about a real guy. The sign of the prophet Jonas. And then he goes even farther. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Isn't it a much better type for Jonah to have died and resurrected of what Jesus is talking about here? He doesn't need to live through that. He can be. We're talking about God and supernatural stuff here. But Jesus says, just like this literal guy was literally 3 days and three nights in this fish, so shall I literally be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. Jesus believed it was literal. And even in Jonah, if you read Jonah, he says, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me out of the belly of hell. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. Sounds like he died, which is fine. We serve the living God, the Creator, who can resurrect and who did literally resurrect. And yeah, that's important, good Reverend. So that's another one. Finally, what you've seen as I've laid out all these things, the most stark difference between Christians and Christ is how they approach their Bible. Christians don't believe Jesus. Christians don't believe the Bible. But Jesus did. Let's just write God's Word. So by the survey, most everybody that goes to church says, nope, it's not God's Word. I don't believe it. It's not literal. It's been corrupted. It's fairy tales and fables. What is Jesus? But I'm just following Jesus, man. I'm just loving him. You see, I loved that person last week. I'm going to love somebody even more next week. Hooray, Jesus. I don't believe in all that stuff, man. I don't have time for that. I heard one guy say, you don't need to believe the literal Bible to be a totally dedicated and awesome follower of Jesus, dude. You don't need that. You can't have science and the Bible. It's just about loving. The Bible was only written by men. Duh. The Bible tells us God used men to write the Bible, but it's God's words. And Paul, you remember 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul is thanking God that the people received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the words of God. But Jesus, Christians don't believe Jesus about the Bible. Christians don't believe the Bible. What did Jesus believe about the Bible? Matthew 4:4, he's quoting, turn back a few pages. And once again, he's quoting Moses, who allegedly never wrote the first five books. So once again, either Jesus is an ignorant rube and needs to be corrected by the Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel, or he is God manifest in the flesh, and these are God's words. That's your choices. But in Matthew 4:4, he says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Except God lost it and it's corrupted. He's not saying that, is he? Luke 4:4, he says pretty much the same thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Sounds like God's pretty concerned with his words. Man shall not live, but by every word of God. So if God lost it and it's corrupted, I guess man can't live anymore. Think about that. But that's the mainstream of Christianity. And this is just a few of the things that the mainstream now believe. And they don't, I'm following Jesus, but I don't believe any of these things. That's what's coming. And that's what our friends and our family members and people that we run into at the grocery store or wherever, this is where they're going to be coming from. So we need to know these things. You know, take the outline, make a little list, put it somewhere so you can show them Because it's good to be able to give them a choice. They may want to say, nope, I just want to stay with the mainstream and I don't have time for the Bible. But at least show them and give them a choice. You're following Jesus? He believed he was God. He believed in Abraham. He believed in the flood. At least you can equip them to make an informed choice. And what I hope by doing this is that this will guard you, like I said at the beginning, from being washed into the mainstream and help you to be able to pick somebody out of it one day. And that's what we have to decide. We have to decide, are we going to follow popular culture? Are we going to follow Christianity? That survey was all Christians. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe any of this. And we can show them that you can't not believe your Bible, but believe in Jesus. Because Jesus believed the Bible. You can't follow Jesus hardcore in love, but not believe any of the things he said. That just seems silly. Love this Jesus, man. He's awesome. But none of the stuff he said, he was true. But he's my Savior. Huh? So, that's all I have for the evening.